I've been trying to get us to do that waving the bulletin thing. It is cool. You know what I mean? You want to try it? Go ahead, try it. See? That works. That works. All right. So I would invite you to take out your sermon notes if you'd like to follow along with me. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture as well as this experience that I recently had in Cuba. So let's look at your agree-disagree questions. How about this? How many people would agree that people are more hospitable today than previous generations? How many would agree? Raise your hand. You and me. All right. How about this? Most people just go through the motions. Do you agree? Probably. I won't use all of these, but how about the one, anybody drive on Luetta Road? Did you see the little sign on the church marquee? God prefers kind atheists over hateful Christians. Ooh, that had a little bite to it, didn't it? Okay, I won't make you vote on that. How about this? Most disputes are about power. You agree? How about this? The 59-year-old embargo against Cuba is working. Okay. And then this. Most people do not believe they can truly make a difference in the world. How many of you would agree with that? I'm interested. Most people do not believe they can truly make a difference in the world. You know, I don't know what that percentage would be. But as we look at having this ripple effect, even hearing Chelsea's story about Emma, you know, and the impact that this little one made and the ripple effects, it's amazing what can happen when someone decides to use a gift he or she has and use it to help other people. And that's kind of what this passage of Scripture is talking about, isn't it? Now, you got to admit, the Scripture begins with the end of all things is near. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful way to begin Scripture? The end of all things is near. You know, would we live our life differently if we actually believe that the end of all things is near? I'm not sure if this is working or not. It is? Okay. Would we live our life any differently? You know, David mentioned the school shooting. And I don't know if you saw one of the texts that one of the daughters sent her mother. And when it was all going down, and she just wanted her to know that she loved them and was grateful for them. How would we live our lives if we believe we had a year left or a month left or a day left? Who would we want to talk to and what would we want to say? How do we live our lives? And so we have this passage, therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Let's see, for some reason here, this isn't working. Okay, there it is. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. You know, we know it in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient and kind. Love never ends. Love is eternal. Now, faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. Why this scripture is in the Bible? You know, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Interesting, isn't it? And yet, you know, I was trying to, how would that be? You know, someone comes in, no, go ahead, sit in my pew. You know, I don't know what the answer would be. You know, how do you envision, you know, that, you know, why would the author write that scripture? Unless there was an opportunity for us maybe to be a little more hospitable to one another. And then this really is our theme verse for today. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically everything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless. Cheerfully, be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, encores to the end of time. This urgency to live out our faith, to think about the ripple effect that we are making, and the impact that other people are making. And so, I have, again, the opportunity to go to Cuba and to partner with the First Presbyterian Church in Havana. I know many of you have joined us on that adventure. And it's really a different sort of mission trip. It's more of a partnership. It's not us doing good for others, even though we have helped in organizing the library and doing some work as they've done some remodeling and so on. But it's really to be in partnership with this church that's trying to live out its faith in a very different situation than we are. Their motto is a light in the city. That's what they want to see themselves, and they're trying to live it out, and we'll talk more about it. It's interesting, during the Obama administration, he really tried to open it up and to open Cuba up and make it easier for families to help their relatives in Cuba with additional money that would be given to them and taking away some of the restrictions as far as going there and visiting. Since then, things have tightened up. In fact, now anybody that wants to fly into Cuba has to go through Havana, which still is most of the most of the people would fly into normally. But it's a different situation, and things definitely have tightened up. In fact, on the runways, because they have a difficult time getting oil and petroleum because of their relationship with Venezuela and some of the challenges there, they're not spending time or resources on, for instance, mowing the grass in between the runways, which we normally are used to seeing, right? And you just wonder, what are things that are they're giving up and what are things that they're holding on to? And it makes for a little difficult situation. It's a great place to visit. It has a long history. In fact, when we were there, they were celebrating their 500th anniversary as a city. And I don't know if you can see, but it's kind of hard to see, but literally there are hundreds and hundreds of people filling this street. And needless to say, they're having a very good time. And they, celebrate that history that they have. And it's kind of hard to see, but they've renovated a number of different places. And so I would talk to people, and I'd want to get to know them, and I'd say, do you think things are better today in Havana than, say, a year ago? And we would have this little discussion. So I was talking to David about my experience, and, I was wanting to title this Más o Menos. It's kind of like so-so, it's kind of so-so right now. Depends on who you talk to and what you talk about. For instance, if someone asked you, how are things going in the United States right now? So-so. If you're an Astros fan, not as great as it was 3 weeks ago, right? It's a little so-so. Our politics, it's challenging, right? So the same was true even in Cuba. And so that's where we got this title that David shared. It's neither heaven nor it's hell. Somewhere in between. And depending on, again, who you talk to, they might try to sway you in one direction or another. One time when we were flying through Miami, the only time we flew through Miami, the taxi driver who they left during the revolution was telling us what we were going to see in Havana. And kids don't have shoes. They barely have enough clothes. They're all undernourished and so on. And even though I knew it to be different, you know, this wasn't a teachable moment, especially when they're driving. But, you know, the kids are wearing nice clothes. They're enjoying life. As, you know, they maybe don't have as many resources as some of our children do. But they were learning and, you know, and you could see that they were having a joyful time as they spent time with their friends. This is a private restaurant. In fact, there are more private businesses in Cuba than ever before. And this is the restaurant in central Havana where President Obama ate dinner. And it was a great meal and a great service. This group is from Taiwan. You know, tourism is, you know, the most important industry, I think, to Cuba right now. And they want to invite as many folks in as possible. And literally, people from all over the world are there. And they're trying to renovate a number of the buildings because a lot of them have structural problems. And, you know, it's kind of like Ellis Island. If you don't pay attention to it overall, it will start to decrease in the appearance and so on. And a lot of Cuba is that way, stuck kind of in the late 50s, early 60s. So one thing that was interesting to hear about this year is this is a line of people standing outside a little tienda by the church that I hadn't noticed before. Because they have limited resources, people are trying to get those resources. They don't have bottled pure water as much as they used to because it's hard to move things from one side of the island and to the other. It makes it difficult, and so some of the products that they want, they don't necessarily have. It's a beautiful city. The capital is very similar to our capital. Recently, you can't tell right here, but Russia gave them the gold plating that now covers the top of the dome. So if you were a normal citizen in Cuba and you see them putting gold on top of the capital, you might feel proud that, look at what our country is able to do, depending on how it's working for you and your family. If you don't have resources or food to eat, you might think that's a waste of resources, and it could be used for something else. But if things are going well and you have enough money and so on, and you might say these things are going well in Cuba. So we have this longstanding, even before I came, I know a number of folks went down to Cuba and visited with different churches and the seminary down there. But we have this partnership with the First Presbyterian Church of Havana. I love telling them that we do Tai Chi in our church because you first did Tai Chi in your church. We had some people that came to Havana and they saw what they were doing. They said, hey, why don't we do Tai Chi? And one thing led to another. And so we offer Tai Chi. It's a way to brainstorm. How do you impact your community? And they don't expect you don't have to be a member of the church to participate in some of these community programs, just like we don't as well. They teach English, just like we teach ESL, right? English as a second language. And Bobby Gonzalez went with us and had an opportunity to see a teacher from the other perspective of how they use their class as a way to help people learn another language. These people use the gifts that God has given them. Let's see if this works. Nope. Oh, it was a nice try, though. Oh, yeah, right. This gal right here is a member of the church. You're going to see her in a prayer group a little bit later on. She sings in a very popular band. In fact, they're playing in one of the, what they say is one of the favorite bars of Hemingway in Havana, which happens to be almost every bar in Havana. But there are about three or four of them that are the most popular, and this was one of them, and they play there during the week. And she actually Their group has sung in the church during worship at different times. And they have an elder school, what they call it, to do stretching and some other things. This is the librarian, and we helped the last year to help organize, and they've renovated in the church. Some of you know that I am trying to learn Espanol, and so, you know, the big joke for a number of years is one day I'm going to preach a sermon totally in Spanish, and this is not the day. I did that for a number of years. And then the last few times we have preached in Spanish, and, you know, it's not perfect, but they know we're trying. They know I'm trying, and they embrace some of the words that I make up, and like serioso. I didn't know serioso wasn't a word. Sounded like a word. But it's a good time to tell them that our partnership is important to us. They have a new young woman pastor. Now, just to give you an idea, all these people are all men, okay? Hector, you know, been there a number of years that many of us know, and, you know, a strong leader and had led the church to do some terrific things during a very difficult time. And Ludmilla is the first woman pastor of the largest Presbyterian church in Cuba, okay? Following a very beloved and a very powerful leader of the church, of the denomination. Been on the World Council of Churches, Hector has served in the past. And she's doing it all wrong. She's doing exactly what they tell you in seminary not to do. Don't change anything for the first couple of years. Well, she didn't get that memo. And she is doing some great things. Those of you who have ever stayed here, that's marble. And we have never seen marble in the bathrooms in the First Presbyterian Church in Havana. And she is trying to upgrade the facilities to welcome groups like ours in partnership with their church and other churches throughout the denomination. You can see right here, there's no toilet seat and there's no shower, right? So this last year, I brought them a toilet seat. The reason why I bring them a toilet seat is one year when we were there, the toilet seat was broken. We went to four different hardware stores, and there were no toilet seats at any of the hardware stores. That's how resources are very difficult to get. So literally, I bring a toilet seat. I don't sign it or anything like that. We just let them have it. And I brought them a heater for their shower that we always haven't had. Let me just say that over the years. And, kind of a nice opportunity to help. Let me see if this is going to work here. And you see, she's trying to remodel and do some things around. Oh, this is a, oops, right there. This is a washer that now they bring, allow people in the church to wash some of their clothes. Just things that we take for granted. You know, these people struggle with some of the daily things in life. So I had an opportunity to meet with their young people, and they're doing, trying to reach out to their community, and they're struggling to have young people in their church just like we are in our church. And she's trying to be very intentional about reaching out to them. While we are there, there were other pastors from other Presbyterian churches in our denomination that are trying to work with the seminary in Matanzas to open up a satellite campus in Havana. And part of the reason is, just like we do in our different seminaries, sometimes it's difficult just to pack up and leave and be a total resident at the seminary. And so they're thinking, well, how can we offer some classes so that someone who might be interested in going to seminary would have that opportunity? And so let me show you. This gal right here has to take care of her mother, who's elderly. She can't just go to seminary, but she would be open to taking classes in Havana that could help her become ordained at some point in the future to be a pastor. And so there's other churches and pastors that are interested to try to see what they can do to help that church. We had a nice prayer for the pastor of the church, Ludmilla, at one of the days. I was able to sing the one song I know in Spanish multiple times. But it was, again, an opportunity for us to encourage them. They enjoy it. We enjoy it. This woman, it's hard to see, but her son-in-law, 5 years ago, I still remember it because I was at church during the weekend after that it happened. Her son-in-law, a Presbyterian pastor, died in an auto crash. And she was sharing during the worship service that this was the five-year anniversary. And I still have a picture of her daughter and granddaughter from an earlier trip. One of the challenges is for young people. They don't believe they have as many opportunities as they hear about other people in other countries. And so a lot of their young people are trying to leave the island. It's not easy. Ludmilla was one of four pastors that was trying to come to the U.S. to visit. She had to travel from Cuba to Panama to have an interview to be able to get a visa to then go back to Cuba so that then she could come to the U.S. because the U.S. Embassy isn't granting visas in Cuba. Three of her friends didn't receive a visa, so they basically wasted their money traveling to Panama to try to get a visa to come to the U.S. It's not easy. Well, some of these young people are trying to get off the island. In fact, there's as many Cubans outside Cuba as there is now in Cuba. And so this mother was sharing about her grandchild went to Brazil and unfortunately was killed recently. And she was sharing about the tragedy that has had on her and her family. When I think of hard life in Cuba, I think of Vicente. That's this. Vicente, for many years, was the facilities person at the church. He would be up at 4 o'clock in the morning mopping the rooms that we would be using later that day. He worked hard. He would have to travel 25 to 30 minutes to come to the church. But he would do that and work very hard. But you can tell he really is skin and bones. He doesn't have family to send him money or resources to visit or whatever. And so he struggles to make it on what he's being rationed every month. It's a challenge. So the question is, what is the ripple effect that we're making? What are the gifts that God has given to us? And what's the difference that it's making in the world? I met this guy on the road, and he hadn't seen his family in 20 years that are in the U.S. And to think about a different sort of life of, you know, here we have resources and able to see our loved ones and the challenge that a lot of people have because their families are broken apart. This is a retired pastor who teaches English in the church. This grandmother hasn't seen her grandchildren for 7 years. And she was sharing it, and tears came to her eyes, and tears filled my eyes, thinking about the challenges. And yet, I believe God used us, and God uses us to say, you know what, we can't make everything right, but we're here with you. We grieve with you. We're here to say you're not alone. This is Vicente. Here's Bobby Gonzalez. He's one of our ESL teachers. Next to him is Ricardo. He's the new facilities person, gifted in a lot of different ways. And then on the far left is Carmina, and she has been our translator for years. And interesting, the year before when we were visiting with Carmina, she was upset because they would work very hard for us to have religious visas to be able to visit their church. She was wanting us to work that hard so that they could come over to the U.S. and the frustration she had because she wasn't able to get a visa for many years. Last summer was the first time she was able to visit the U.S. and was able to see family members and was able to tour different parts of our country, and was very was in a little different season, let me just say that, in her life. But she uses the gifts that she has of translation and relationships. And when we experience hurricanes, she's always quick to send us a quick note, how are you doing? And very concerned about us as well. So the question for us is, what gift has God given you to help other people? In a few minutes, we're going to vote on some new officers who have accepted that call to use their gifts in ministry. Already many of them are using their gifts here at the church, and over the next 3 years or a couple years, they're going to be able to use their gifts even more in an intentional way. But it's not just up to them. It's all of us. It's the ripple effects that each of us have. It's reading with a student over at Reynolds Elementary. It's caring about a junior high person at Wells Middle School. It's helping in our own youth group or helping at NAM or maybe the 1960 Hope Center and the way that they're trying to help and encourage people. It could be meeting with prisoners at Kairos and any one of our benevolences. Ways that we can make an effect, a ripple effect, that shares Christ's light and Christ's love with others. How can you share the gifts that God has given you? Will you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for the ways that your stewards are using the gifts that you've entrusted to their care. Help us to do that as well. Help us to look for ways that we can bring light to your world.